Gospel for this fifth Sunday of Lent is recorded in John, the 11th chapter. Another long one, but another fascinating story. Just listen in. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it's for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. Those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was simply referring to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. So, let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Oh, let us also go, that we may as well die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know. He'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I now am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." And when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "Well, see how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stink because he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord. So those of you who have been around me for a while probably get tired of me asking the same question many times in difficult situations, challenging times, times of conflict. The question I tend to ask is, what is God doing in this situation? Both of our scripture readings today offer some powerful answers to that question. Basically, the answer is, God is doing what God's always been doing. From the beginning of time, the dawn of creation, the Bible says God breathed into them the breath of life and they became living beings. Yes, God has been breathing life into everything, including situations that seem devoid of hope and life. In 6th century BC, the Israelites had been carried off in exile into Babylon, far from their home. And the temple of Jerusalem had been destroyed, the leadership decimated, the people scattered, all hope lost. They'd lost track of the breath of life. If you'd asked them, what's God doing in this situation? They would have said, nothing. God has abandoned us. Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost. We're cut off completely. Into this situation, Ezekiel, the prophet, spoke for God what in fact God was doing in this situation. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay tendons on you and cause flesh to come on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. And that's exactly what happened to the people of Israel. Restored to life in God and restored eventually to their home as well. Same with Martha and Mary when their brother had died. What did Jesus do? He breathed into him the breath of life when he shouted, Lazarus, come forth! Lazarus came out of the grave. And we're told that anyone standing there had life breathed into them as well. Yes. God is doing now what God has always been doing, breathing life into everything. Just look at how this pandemic challenge has breathed life into Lord of Life's social media experiments. Thank God for Pastor David, Rick, Patrick, and Marna, who have led the way. They've had to baby step me through every little Zoom meeting, for heaven's sakes. But even I'm starting to get the hang of it, you know? How might this breathing more life into social media as a means to communicate the gospel, how might this ditching of the canoes as we learn to climb the mountains ahead of us in this challenging time we're living in, how might this impact and breathe life into how we are called to be church? God breathing life into everything, if we can just see it. Look at these NASA images of how nitrous oxide pollution has been dramatically decreased because of the slowdown of activity in China. The first image is from January 1st, the usual pollution. And the second is from February 24th. The air just amazingly cleared. And so while the coronavirus has brought the Chinese economy to a standstill, and economies around the world, of course, even here, the earth is getting to catch a breath of life. It's being healed for right now. Maybe this is just temporary, until industries ramp up again, but maybe we can learn something. What might this short breath of fresh air do to help us see how God's earth can heal when we do things differently. 4. Have you noticed in this time of slowing down, when you're out taking walks, sitting in your backyard, how God can breathe new life into you as you let yourself experience the little wonders God is breathing into nature all the time? This past week, we've been watching a mother wren who built a nest in one of our geranium hanging planters, you know? And it's not the smartest place for to plant that, but we've been watching all week now, because the mother and father wren have been coming and going, bringing things in and out of that geranium plant, and we're just waiting. We can hardly wait to hear some chirping coming from that geranium plant, signs of new life, you know? And then we've been sitting around having coffee in the morning, listening to bird songs and wondering what they are, and so maybe we'll just get to learn what some of those bird songs are from Google. Or, you know, just doing this, maybe you've done this, marvel at the stars in the sky at night. Orion is so clear in the sky right now. Might it be that by slowing us down in this time, God might be breathing new life into us? I was talking to a family this past week about how their life has shifted with the pandemic. Previously running 4 kids all over town to rehearsals and practices in school and church and this and that and the other thing. And here they are home together. Well, how might God be breathing life into their awareness and appreciation of their family? Well, maybe appreciation is a little too much to expect, but how can we perhaps become more aware of how God is always breathing life, new life, into our families, and how do we receive that breath? Or how about the sense we're getting of people being just a little more thoughtful toward one another, simply by staying home, not just to protect ourselves, but to protect others from the spread of coronavirus? God breathing some fresh breath into our compassion? And you know, this isn't the first plague that's attacked humanity and challenged the church, by the way, to respond. The dreaded bubonic plague hit Wittenberg, Germany in 1527, and Martin Katie Luther decided to stay in town. Some were fleeing. That plague had raged over Europe for at least a century, you know. But when it came there and the hospitals were packed, nowhere to take the sick and the dying, they invited sick people into their big old monastery home and nursed them, some to their death and some to their health. And he said this, though, to those who stayed in Wittenberg to help: "I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order to not become contaminated and thus perchance inflict and pollute others and so cause their death. If God should wish to take me, God will surely find me. And if I have done what the Lord has expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my death or the death of others, if my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above." See, this is such a God-fearing faith, because it's neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God. I've seen some of that breath of compassion in all of you. The checks that are coming flowing into the office for this ministry, how gratifying that is. The phone calls being made among us to each other to see how we're doing, to check up on people. What a gift that is in this community. And some of you have already responded to Jenny McKenna's invitation to help with Scrubs, which is an appreciation program to provide food for hospital workers during the day in a safe way. How cool is that? And here's something to think about. What might happen if, when this $2 trillion relief package starts getting rolled out, what if those of us who don't need that $1,200 maybe just give it to the pastor's discretionary fund, or to Lutheran World Relief, or to Interfaith of the Woodlands, so that it can be redistributed to people who really need it. What might happen? And how might God be breathing life in the midst of this pandemic, just as for the Israelites in exile and those who witnessed the raising of Lazarus that day? How might God be breathing life into our desire for a deeper relationship with Him? With the spare time we have on our hands, some opportunities open up. My Uncle Wally and Aunt Hope called me the other night. They're reading the Bible to each other, and this is the first time in 65 years of married life they've done anything like that, anything religious together at all. And they're using a good Catholic study Bible, and they called me and they said, you know, Gary, we don't know what some of these words mean here, like, what's a pentateuch? And I said, oh, that's Pentateuch. That's the first five books of the Bible. It's also called the Torah. And we talked about it for a while. And they just got more excited about reading further and finding out more about what God's Word says. You know, maybe it's a good time during this homebound period for us to offer a Bible in 90 Days program again or something like that. Who knows? But I do know this. The Bible breathes life into us, in a time like this especially, reminding us how it's always been God alone who can breathe breath into our dead and sterile bodies. As St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said this, "We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia Minor. We were so utterly, unbearably crushed, we despaired of life itself. In fact, we felt like we'd received the death sentence so that, and get this, so that we would rely not on ourselves, but on God who has the power to raise the dead." And yes, even as early persecuted Christians back in Rome were facing their own death, Paul assured them in this letter to Rome, "We do not live to ourselves. And we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end," he says, "Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord of the dead and the living." Them bones, them dry bones. As we move through these days and months of pandemic, perhaps hear the word of the Lord. What is God doing? If somebody asks you that, you can just say, well, God's doing what God has always been doing. God is breathing life into everything.